I've been reading through the Bible for the better portion of my life at 57 years old, and I have taken to reading the book of Jeremiah for about, I'll be entering into the third week now. It's not the first time I read the book, and I want to suggest that it's not the easiest book to read, but as I read the pages, I see how much the Lord speaks to me. I want to just point out a couple of verses from Jeremiah 29. That could be a very familiar passage to you if you're acquainted with God's Word. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to be reading, I think it's four verses if you do the math, 10 through 14. They should be familiar to some. But listen how much the Lord speaks to us in just these few verses. Jeremiah 29. I'm going to start at verse 10 if you're following along. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Verse 13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Listen. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Listen. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to this place from which I carried you into exile. Now, for a moment, think back to your childhood. Who didn't love playing hide and seek? I mean, to this very day, I love the adrenaline that gets stirred up. Whether you're it or you're hiding. There's just something about playing that game. So imagine for a minute a five-year-old child that loves doing two things at this young point in his life. Spending time with his daddy and playing hide and seek. One evening, this child begs dad to play the game. So hand in hand, they go into the backyard. And as soon as they get there, the child says, I'll be in. Turns his back, covers his eyes, starts to count all the way to 10. 1, 2, 3. As the dad looks for a place to hide. Moments later, here I come, ready or not, fills the air. This is the part I marvel at. Sometimes you can hide in plain sight, flat on your belly in a shadow. And never be seen. It's amazing. And sure enough, that's what the father did. He disappeared. Which is the point of the game. And he's invisible. Can't you just see this kid hunting all around the yard, searching for the father behind the garden shed, in the garden shed, behind the tree, around the grill, inside the grill. All right, in the grill cabinet, maybe not in the grill. Behind the lawn chair, under the table. This kid is thoroughly searching for his dad. Isn't that what we do when we play the game? Okay. By now, the sun's setting. It's getting dark, and for the child, it would seem as though the father is invisible. This is where the emotions kick in. Maybe he's gone off and left me. The child becomes a little frightened. The smile fades, the tears begin to well up. But not too far away is the father hiding in the bushes, seeing the fear. Clears his throat, shakes a branch, The child sees them. That mourning turns to joy. It runs to the Father. Oh, if life could be that easy. Life is not about fun and games. The truth is, it's a struggle from birth. Tracy and I have watched Adam, our 7-month-old grandson, try to figure out how to get his hands and knees to work together to crawl forward to be with his dad in what they call floor time. Comes home from work. Says he wants to do floor time, and then, man, my son, man, he grabs his kid and lays on his back and rolls side to side and runs back. There's all kinds of joy. Floor time. So we could watch him trying with all his might to figure out how to get his knees to work so he could enjoy the time with his father. And Jackson will learn over the course of time, through the experience of many bumps and bruises, to crawl, to toddle. And before we know it, he'll be walking out the door. This is all part of God's plan. There are some in this world with doubts of the actual existence of a holy and loving God. There are people in this world with problems so great that they can't imagine the invisible God. Does he really care? Well, this morning I want to encourage you with this good news, with this truth. He is there and he has a plan. And when you read Jeremiah 29, he has plans more than one for your life. Jeremiah 29:13 is a promise from God to you. Listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. One complete sentence. One thought. Faith in God is essential in the world we live. This world is really good at distracting us from God. And without God, we tend to experience the emotions that that child felt playing the game. Fearful. Alone. And without peace. Too often we look for peace in all the wrong places. Besides that. So how do we experience this peace so many people talk about? How do we find God's plans for our life? Well, in God's infinite wisdom, he's given us a handbook, an instruction book, filled with promises from God to you and me. Called the Bible. And right now in the world, we have the freedom to read it. And I was just informed by God through an ordained moment. Barnes & Noble is taking God's word off the shelf. Figure that one out. Why is that? And I'll tell you. Because it is the most powerful book on the planet. It changes lives. Not for a moment, not for an hour, not for a day, for eternity. Amen. And too often I feel we leave it on the table. Binder clips on it, dust forming on the pages. And we pass it by, all that valuable information in this Bible promise book. Jesus promised in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace. God's peace. I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Listen to God's promises in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you. Listen, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Sometimes we need to come to understand that God is pursuing us and he wants to be found. Why? Because he loves us. And he has a plan for us. Going back to the story we began with, why did the father clear his throat? Why did he shake that branch? Because he wanted to be found. But I think more than that, because of love, he saw his child frightened and unhappy, and wanted him to have peace. So he made a way to be heard and seen. God's word tells us of another promise in Matthew 11:28, saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God is there to carry us. Isaiah 46:3-4 tells us, "You, whom I have upheld since your birth, I have carried you since you were born, even in your old age and gray hairs. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." Too often, we carry things we should be laying at the feet of Jesus. Guilty. It would seem we learn this from birth. When we were young, we could hardly wait to get out of our mother's arms and be on our way about our beings throughout this life, saying, "I do it." And Jackson displays this now at feeding time. He will have nothing to do with mama and papa about being fed. I mean, their routine is to fill a rubber-coated spoon with food, place it on the tray on the high chair, place it before Jack. He picks it up and he does a pretty good job getting it to and in his mouth. And you can almost hear him saying, "I do. I do. I do it in my own strength. I've confessed before. I'll get with you, God, as soon as I handle it down here." That is so backwards. Over the course of time, in our old age, we revert back to needing extra help. That might be the aid of a strong arm or a cane. At some point, we rely on walkers and wheelchairs. Throughout life, God's plan is to offer to carry us through any situation this life throws our way. But he is not to be seen as a crutch. He has a great love toward us, and his faithfulness endures forever. Beep, beep. Jeremiah assures us God is able to be found. There is a stipulation, though. You must seek him with all your heart. He's only revealed to those who search for him wholeheartedly. To experience his love and faithfulness, we must take an action. There is a part we play in this thing we call life. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." That is God speaking to you right now. You just happen to use my voice. It's in the book. It's in the book. Read the book. Jeremiah 29 is a promise to everyone in this sanctuary. Are you seeking him with all of your heart? All of your being. That which makes you up. Because I will tell you, 1 hour of worship one time a week is hardly a wholehearted search. The truth is, half-hearted searchers may never find what God's plan is in store for their life. And what drives me bonkers is that these half-hearted seekers, after they casually look for God and don't find him, blame him for not being able to eat them. It's a lie. It's deception. There are many places we can seek God and His plan for us. I'll suggest two places a wholehearted daily searcher can find God. First, a book. Devotional books are great. My Utmost for His Highest is my go-to. And others. But you cannot outgive or do better than the Bible itself. If you have tried daily Bible reading and gotten discouraged because it's difficult to understand, may I encourage trying several things? Find a Bible, a translation that speaks to you. There are many versions on this planet. You might not find them at Barnes and Noble, but you can find them at Ollie's. Good stuff, cheap, God's Word. Before you read one word, prayerfully ask God to speak to you and that you would have ears to spiritually hear Him. And most importantly, open it daily. And if you need a place to start, I would suggest Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Read a couple of those verses over the course of time. And more than likely, you will come to know and understand God's plan as to how to live a successful life. It does not have to be an uphill battle. It will not be easy, but the Lord will be with you every step of the way. The second place we seek Him is in prayer. Jeremiah 29, 11 and 12 says, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Ask Him, what is your will for my life? Plans to prosper you, not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you'll call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Prayer is a great way of finding God, to seek Him, His will, and His ways when life seems uncertain. Go to the one that wrote the plan book. You may say, "James, I don't know how to pray." This is a promise you have from God in Jeremiah 29. "I will listen when you pray." Prayer is simply a conversation. Begin by asking for the forgiveness of sin. Only after that can we begin to expect God to honor our request as we remember our family, our friends, and whatever else may be on our prayer list. There are benefits that far outreach what this world has to offer when we actively spend time in prayer. For the child in the story, having searched wholeheartedly, he received his momentary reward. To fall joyfully into his father's arms, safe and secure from all alarm. When we are seeking God with all of our heart, the outcome is we don't fear the future and what it holds. If you have searched wholeheartedly and committed yourself to Christ, you have nothing to fear. At the end of the day, or at the end of life, you are safe in the arms of Jesus. The arms of your Heavenly Father embrace you with an everlasting love. Be assured, you can do it with His help. You have God's word on it. "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Next week, we'll look at the plans God has for those seeking Him with all their heart. For He does have plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plan to be here to seek out what these promises may look like. Father, I thank you for this time that we have spent in your word. And I thank you that we can find you, that you are there. And what you want us to do is search for you. God, I pray that you would continue to go before us as we enter into this week. Be with us as we're absent one from another. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.